Welcome to my podcast. I'm Melissa Stock. You are listening to a summary of a decision in the Supreme Court in relation to the appeals Times Newspapers Limited against Flood, Frost and Others against MGN Limited, and Miller against Associated Newspapers Limited. It was before Lord Newburger, Lord Mance, Lord Sumption, Lord Hughes, and Lord Hodge. It was a unanimous decision. Lord Newburger delivered the judgment. Before I go on to outline the facts, some background to these appeals may be helpful. The appeals were about costs. The regime being considered was introduced by the Access to Justice Act 1999 and reflected in the provisions in Section 44 of the Civil Procedure Rules. The Act enabled a claimant who did not have financial means to sue for libel under what is known as a Conditional Fee Agreement, or CFA. The CFA meant that the claimant did not have to pay the lawyers anything should the claim fail, but the lawyers would be entitled to up to twice their usual rate should it succeed. The claimant could also take out after-the-event insurance, or an ATE, so that the defendant's costs would be paid if the claim failed. If the claim succeeded, the CFA costs and ATE premium would be paid by the defendant on the usual principle that the losing party pays the winning party's costs. The regime did not just apply to privacy and defamation cases, but all civil areas of law. There was widespread concern. It undoubtedly improved access to justice, but it was a system that was open to abuse. In some cases, the costs of litigation were becoming grossly disproportionate to the award of damages. After a review by Sir Rupert Jackson in 2009, substantial changes were made and implemented by the Legal Aid, Sentencing and Punishment of Offenders Act 2012, also known as LASPO. The principal changes affected by LASPO did not apply to defamation and privacy claims. However, as part of the Jackson reforms, tighter case management by the courts and cost budgeting throughout the litigation process is applied. In 2006, MGN brought a case to the European Court of Human Rights after the decision of the House of Lords in Campbell No. 2. The court decided that MGN's Article 10 rights had been infringed by the order to pay the success fee and ATE premium. Particular criticisms were made of the 1999 Act's costs regime. First, that there was a lack of any qualifying requirement for entering a CFA. Second, that there was no effective cost control. And third, that the regime had a blackmail effect that drove parties to settle despite good prospects of defence. The facts. Taking each of these three appeals in turn now to outline their individual facts. Flood against TNL. Mr. Flood was a detective sergeant with the Metropolitan Police who was being investigated after an allegation of corruption was made. In June 2006, whilst the investigation was ongoing, the Times newspaper published an article suggesting that there were strong grounds to believe that he was guilty. He issued proceedings for libel after entering into a CFA. TNL served a defence based on justification and a Reynolds defence. That is, that the article had been properly researched and was in the public interest, even if Mr. Flood was innocent. Mr. Flood was exonerated by the investigation, and a letter was sent on the 5th of September 2007 informing TNL. The story was not taken down from the Times website. The parties tried to settle the claim but did not succeed. At a hearing, it was held that the Reynolds defence only succeeded up to the 5th of September. TNL were ordered to pay Mr. Flood's costs. TNL's appeal to the Court of Appeal was dismissed, and it appealed to the Supreme Court. Miller against ANL. In October 2008, the Daily Mail published an article suggesting that Mr. Miller's management consultancy had received contracts worth millions of pounds in public money as a result of improper conduct. Mr. Miller, under a CFA, issued proceedings and took out ATE insurance. ANL made a defence of justification. After discussions between the parties, Mr. Miller warned ANL that he would increase his ATE cover unless ANL agreed to limit their recoverable costs. They refused. He made a Part 36 offer to settle for £18,000. ANL offered £5,000 with no apology. At trial, Mr. Miller won. He was awarded £65,000. He was awarded costs on a standard basis up to the Part 36 offer, and costs on an indemnity basis thereafter. His base costs of some £600,000 were agreed. The additional £587,000 in success fees and £248,000 in respect of the ATE were challenged by A&L. A leapfrog appeal was granted to the Supreme Court. Frost against MGN. Over a period of many years, journalists at the Daily Mirror, the Sunday Mirror, and the People used information from hacked mobile phones to generate news stories. 23 claimants brought proceedings against MGN, the owner of these newspapers, under CFA agreements. About 18 took out ATE insurance. The parties agreed reasonable base costs, ranging from £22,000 to £210,000. However, the costs judge determined a reasonable success fee in each case, varying between 25% and 100%. The ATE premiums ranged from about £13,000 to £87,000. There were also costs incurred in the Court of Appeal, where MGN had challenged the levels of damages awarded and lost. A leapfrog appeal was granted to the Supreme Court on the CFA and ATE costs. At the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court considered four main issues. 1. Whether the domestic law should reflect the European Court of Human Rights decision in MGN against UK to the extent of laying down a general rule where if the defendant is a broadcaster or newspaper, that it would infringe its Article 10 rights to reimburse the success fee and ATE premium. 2. Assuming the general rule exists, should A&L and TNL pay the relevant fees? 3. Could the rule be relied upon by MGN in the circumstances of that case? And 4. Should the court make a declaration of incompatibility under Section 4 of the Human Rights Act in relation to the 1999 Act or LASPO? The first issue, MGN against UK. The Supreme Court declined to make any conclusions because the United Kingdom government were not a party to the proceedings and any decision made would technically bind the government. At paragraph 29, His Lordship highlighted that it could make it more difficult for the government to challenge the decision of the European Court if a finding of incompatibility were made. His Lordship did, however, make a number of observations about the decision in MGN against UK. It was not a decision of the Grand Chamber. It was a full and careful decision based on a report made by a senior UK official. It did not take into account that the 1999 costs regime also assists defendants, who could enter CFAs to defend claims involving Article 10. In many cases, claimants are liable for at least some of the costs, and in others, the defendants are unable to meet a costs order. The ATE means that a successful defendant is able to recover costs. No changes were made in regards to costs in the Defamation Act 2013 on concerns that only wealthy individuals could pursue claims. And finally, that these points taken together seem unlikely to justify a domestic court refusing to follow the reasoning and conclusion of MGN against UK. The second issue, should A&L and TNL pay the success fees? The fact that Mr. Miller had brought proceedings at a time when the law permitted ATEs, and when it had been held by the House of Lords in Campbell No. 2 that the 1999 Act was compatible with Article 10 of the Convention, was highly significant. His Lordship said at paragraph 46 that it would be unjust to prevent him recovering the success fee and ATE premium, and would infringe his rights under Article 1 of Protocol 1 to the Convention. Individuals have a legitimate expectation that the legal system will apply and be upheld, and to amend the costs order would undermine the rule of law. He said this at paragraph 53. It is a fundamental principle of any civilized system of government that citizens are entitled to act on the assumption that the law is as set out in legislation. The third issue, MGN's case. The claimants in Frost against MGN all entered into CFAs and took out ATE premiums after the judgment of MGN against UK. However, the 1999 Act, approved by the House of Lords in Campbell No. 2, was lawful in domestic terms at the time. In any event, as this case involved the use of information obtained illegally, the Supreme Court was of the view that any general rule regarding fees could not have any application. The fourth issue, a declaration of incompatibility. The Supreme Court had declined to make conclusions on whether there should be a general rule to reflect the outcome of MGN against UK, and therefore did not go on to consider a declaration of incompatibility. Furthermore, His Lordship pointed out that it would be inappropriate in relation to the 1999 Act, which had been superseded by other legislation, including LASPO, the Defamation Act, and the Crime and Courts Act 2013. Accordingly, all three appeals were dismissed. Case comment. There was much anticipation as to what the Supreme Court would conclude. The judgment leans towards approving the decision in MGN against UK that the additional fees are incompatible with Article 10, but without expressly doing so. The original proceedings to these appeals were brought some time ago, some before MGN against UK was decided. The Supreme Court's reasoning implies that there may now be less of a legitimate expectation that additional fees will be paid should a case be brought after its decision on these appeals. Nevertheless, until the government decides to reform the cost regime in regards to defamation and privacy claims, the current legislation stands. Thank you for listening to my podcast. The references for the cases and legislation mentioned in this podcast are available on my website, www.privacylawbarrister.com.